Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Childcare Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson here with Lisa Murphy and Bethany Corey. How's everybody doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Lisa's got a great topic for us. I want to mention something because I made a prediction years ago how at some point Lisa would be able to show up at trainings as a hologram and not have to leave the house. I sent her a link a couple of weeks ago because a company, I think it's a UK company, has actually developed a hologram box. It's a box. It's about the size of a phone booth. What was it, like $60,000? You put that in your training space on your stage or whatever, and then the trainer shows up there as a hologram and it can do presentations. And so now that we're moving into a world of high bandwidth and awesome technology, Lisa Murphy is going to be able to project herself. And I mean, think of that. You could present yourself into three or four different venues at the same time,
right?
Banking five checks for five presentations all at once by hologramming yourself to five different locations. I think it's going to be awesome. I was so happy that my prediction came true.
Did you buy me one?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, not yet. And they got to have one of those at each venue, but I mean, that's going to be something that the different venues start.
Investment, right?
Yeah, absolutely. For comparison, I Googled what the first like VCR cost, and it was like It was like $100,000+ back in like 1946. So the price of this technology is going to go way down, and look forward to that sometime. If you're a young caregiver, sometime in your future, you'll be able to have old lady Lisa Murphy hologram come and do a presentation for you. So
like a little Princess Leia, like a pop out of your droid.
Yeah. Yeah, or your iPhone. It doesn't have to be a droid.
Or your iPhone. Exactly. Oh, my God.
I wonder if I get up.
If you get a pic, like, would it be real time? Could you go back and have it be, like, your favorite picture of yourself?
Oh, I think you could probably come up with an avatar body. So you could actually show up with, like, your head on Princess Leia's body or something if you wanted to.
That would be awesome.
I think that would be great. Bethany, thoughts?
Well, I asked Brian to make me a cup of tea, and he said, what podcast are you doing, Miss Becky or the other one? And I see now we're like going into Miss Becky land with...
Yes, because that would totally be something that would happen
Android bodies.
That podcast, because in that podcast, Bethany has an Android body with all kinds of fun attachments for...
Oh, I can just imagine. With a wide base. Anyway...
All of our listeners, check out Miss Becky's Classroom.
where Bethany plays the captain of a starship currently with a robot body because she had a mishap while getting a nose job. So that's a whole different podcast. Lisa Murphy, what are we talking about officially in this episode?
Saying yes. And of course, it came out of the three live gigs I've had since COVID. The most recent one, I was up back in Minot, North Dakota, and I was driving around, and I saw this. I was driving by a gas station, and the sprinkler was on, and I saw this car pull in right by the gas station, this lady got out of the car, three children tumbled out of the car, and they just started stripping off their clothes down to like their shorts, and they were running through the sprinklers at the gas station. And I told Jeff, I pulled over to watch it like some, you know, creepy voyeur on the side of the road by the gas station, because I was, of course, making up in my head the story as to how, what happened right before this, you know,
yeah, like,
what's the narrative of this, you know, are they on a road trip of sorts and tensions just got too high? 'Cause it was hot when I was there. In fact, they teased me. They were like, why did you bring the Florida weather? It was 100 degrees when I was there. Gosh. It's like, I was looking to escape the heat by going to North Dakota, and I ended up bringing it with me. But like, what was it, just hot? And she's just like, get the fuck out of the car and run through the sprinklers. Like, that, of course, was my first thought. Or maybe she just is that personality of, hey guys, you know, look at that. Like, we don't have the sprinklers. Let's go cool off and run through somebody else's sprinklers. Or that, and it just made me think. I typed myself instantly an email of a podcast idea of saying yes.
Was there a keep off the lawn sign? Maybe she was trying to get rid of the kids.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. No, I didn't. She's
a grouchy old guy sitting on the porch with his shotgun. He turns on the sprinklers, draws the kids in, and then she's free, heads off to Las Vegas. That's the narrative I come up with.
Perhaps.
No, I totally love this. In the burnout trainings I do, I talk about this as the yes mindset, because a lot of times we just get locked in on no so easily, because our brains are kind of wired for no, because it's safe.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to open ourselves up and be able to say yes to things and see where they go. I think that's one of the things Bethany decided to do when she opened her program, was to kind of have this, maybe you didn't think about it at the beginning, but I think that's what your program has become, is this kind of like, yeah, okay, kind of environment for the kids, huh?
Yeah, it is. And I've been thinking about it a lot more recently. I have a new child that's just been with us for about 2 weeks, and he's been with mom or with grandma and grandpa for the past like 6 months. He's 3 years old, and he gets to do, within reason, anything he wants, right? Because it's just him and the adult in his life. And so coming to my house, where like it is very much just a yes space, like indoors and outdoors, if it's there, it's there for children to experience. You know, I tell new families, like, if I'm dumb enough to put something that might be broken out and I care about it, like, that was my problem, not your kids if they explored it, right? But with this new child, he's hearing no a lot. And I never realized how much that I say no during the day, which I guess this is completely opposite of what you were just saying, Jeff. But in a group setting, right? Like, we can't just up and go for a walk when I have to change a poopy diaper, or, you know, the baby needs a nap, or whatever it is. You know, like, we can't be inside and just, okay, we're going out. I mean, most of the time we can. There's a lot of time, but there's a lot of no's that happen in the day. And so I've been thinking again about how, like, I need to not, even with the best of intentions, you can get back into that no trap.
Hold on, I'm going to call you on something. Is it really a no, or is it, because in my brain, what you're describing is not really a hard no. It's a, you know what, we need to maybe wait until the baby wakes up.
Yeah.
Right? It's more of, I think,
absolutely,
a pausing or becoming comfortable. It's like a delay of gratification as opposed to a no.
Yes. And I agree with that completely. I think in my mind, especially with this one child, it feels like a no to him, right? Like, it just feels like,
because everything has been an immediate yes,
right?
As opposed, yeah, to maybe, yeah, a delay of game yes.
Yeah.
So it's still a yes. You're just having to wait,
right,
a little longer than you're used to.
But it's exciting when your day is yes, you know, when you're just open to that yes. because you get to stop and play in the sprinkler and drive home sopping wet. And you get to, you know, like, we're really lucky and we live near horses and a river we can visit. And so, like, it's like, oh, we want to go to the river today. Let's go. Like, we can just have sort of like that adventure.
Are there ever horses in the river?
I haven't seen that.
Oh my gosh. If there was a horse walking through the river, I'm guessing it's a kind of a low, lazy river. Maybe it's the wrong kind of river I'm imagining, but a horsey splashing in the river. That would be
cool.
Oh,
or riding the horses to the river would be awesome.
A couple of weeks ago, I was off to the.
This was a thing for you, Mr. Jeff.
I was off to the grocer. I was popping down to the grocer to pick up a couple things.
Popping down to the shops.
And I mean, it's walking distance kind of thing. And I'm walking by some horsies on the way. And there's like the mommy horsey, but there's like the baby horsey standing next to the mommy horsey. What do they call baby horsies, Bethany?
Foal.
Okay, so there's this little baby horse, and
what's a colt?
Well, a colt is a male baby horse.
Oh,
but I think a foal is just a baby horse.
Okay, so the baby horse is standing next to mommy horse, and there's the paddock. There is what they call the, like, the little pasture area.
Yeah.
We'll call it a paddock. And it's, you know, got the wood fence around it and everything, and the green grass, and the sprinklers are on, and the paddock. But the baby horse was just standing next to mommy, and I was like, oh, baby horse, please go play in the sprinkler, please. And I just realized I wasn't going to the grocery store. I was walking to a bar to have lunch with my wife. But that makes it even better. And I was hoping the baby horse would play in the sprinkler, but the baby horse didn't play in the sprinkler, and I wanted to go home and get a chair and just sit there and wait, because the baby horse has got to play in the sprinkler eventually, right? But no, it didn't happen. But I didn't go back to check. But
so yeah. I went back to check. So this is, I am sounding like a creepy voyeur. So when the light turned green, right, and I had to, and I was, I don't know what, I was so drawn to it, I did the loop and I went back like around the block to pass the sprinkler family at the gas station just to see if they were still doing. Now the kids were out there now by themselves, and I watched the mama or whoever the woman was, the adult, the grown-up, walked out of the gas station with ice creams for them. And so now they're jumping. Oh, and I was like, could this get any better? Like, I got to do another loop. What's going to happen in the third loop? At least they get the rest in.
They're eating ice cream, riding ponies.
Through a river.
Through the sprinklers. Well, this is either best mom ever or a kidnapper. I mean, it's one of those two things.
But yeah, but you could tell the spontaneity of it, you know, like she didn't have towels, you know, it was just go for it. And yeah, the yes, saying yes as often as possible.
Yeah.
Maybe she was the cool aunt.
She might've been the cool aunt.
So I love this. And I think it's really, when you open yourself up to more yeses in your day, things really do become a lot more child-led. I mean, I've talked about it before. Annie, we're playing with the sensory goop, and it's on the table and the sensory totes and everything. And she's like, Jeff, I need to put my toes in here. And so the tote goes onto the floor and the toes go in it. And then she's kneeling in it and rubbing it on her legs and everything. And I mean, it would have been a real easy thing to say no to.
Exactly.
And not really much reason not to say yes, other than it's a little bit more messy, but I mean, it was going to be messy no matter what. And she ended up having this sensory experience that for whatever reason she wanted or / needed on this particular day. And so why not say yes to that kind of thing when you can?
To me, it comes back, and I've said this before as well, of the whole improv thing. You know, if you've ever gone and watched good improv being done, whether you realize it or not, one of the main reasons why you're calling it good improv is because yes is happening constantly. Yes, the minute you say no to something, it shuts it down. And to me, that's always been a parallel to teaching and hanging out with kids. You know, why did I just say no? For my own ease, for my own comfort? You know, why? Because no stops the action. And we all know, everybody sitting here today, sometimes the action needs to stop, right? Because somebody is literally about to get hurt. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times we shut it down just because we want the action to stop. And I think it's important for us to realize that there's a difference between it needing to stop and me actually wanting it to stop. So what, again, coming back to my three favorite questions, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And who is it for? Why am I shutting this down? Because I don't like it. You know, I don't need you to like it, but I need you to make room for it and respect it.
Yeah. And I mean, there's that continuum there that, I mean, I guess for me, and I maybe part of it is the burnout stuff I do, but if your head is going to explode and you can't make it through the rest of the day, if the kids put their toes in the sensory stuff, by all means, say no to it, because you got to make it through the rest of the day. You got to keep everybody alive. But there's a lot of places on the continuum before that, that you can say yes to those things. And I think you can also, and we talk about this a lot, you can create, that's why we focus so much time on the show talking about the environment we create, because if you've really been thoughtful about your environment, it becomes much easier to say yes to things. If you're doing family childcare and you've taken all your priceless knickknacks and Hummels out of the room because you don't want them destroyed, it makes it easier for the kids to get a little bit more rough and tumble in the play space, for example, those kind of things. And so thoughtfully curating your environment makes it easier to say yes in most situations.
And to add to that, saying yes on a more regular basis, then it's not like the yes is being reserved for that one day when I'm in a good mood and it's not going to make my head explode. So simply by it happening more frequently, it doesn't get as overly like crazy.
Yeah, sure. Because we're totally creatures of habit. And if our habit is no, it's really hard to break that and take on this yes mindset. Yes, Bethany, you had your hand up.
Thank you. I had to put my hand up so I wouldn't forget. So I had a couple of things. One is that I feel like a lot of this has to do with our relationships with the children. So I am someone who apologizes constantly to the kids because I'm always doing stupid things. You know, like, I shouldn't have said that to you. Like, I'm trying to say this in a nice way. I can be an asshole. And so, like, I find it important that, like, if you wrong a child, you know, like, if you snap at them or whatever, you need to apologize. And I got this way with my older kids that just went on to kindergarten, that I would have that, like, my bucket's empty, right? And so I just no to everything that they're suggesting. But then I'd sit there and I'd go, I don't know why I said no to you. Like, I just said no, I didn't mean it. Like, go ahead, of course you can XYZ. And I think that's important for children too, is that, like, sometimes, you know, we say something, but, like, we didn't even think about it. It was just a reaction.
Yeah, it's that wiring.
Yeah. And I feel like that, like, with the relationships, like, I can say no when I need to, and I can tell them, like, I just really can't handle you guys smushing the Play-Doh into the floor today. Like, that's not something we can do, but, like, hit me up tomorrow morning and we'll do it.
After I've had my coffee.
Yeah. But then they understand that because they've had lots of yes in their life, that they're like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, she is. The kids always called me irritable. They were like, are you irritable?
Yep. Get in the van.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
She said she had two things.
I had two things. Oh, so one of the last things I did with my group of going into kindergarten children, we had a lemonade stand, and one of them had the idea. They said, we want to have a lemonade stand. And I said, of course, let's do it. Now it's summer in Middle Tennessee, and so most afternoons are thunderstorms, just spontaneous. So I said, it's probably going to storm today and I won't be able to let people know about it. So let's plan for it tomorrow unless there's thunderstorms. So the next day comes and we were going to do it after nap time because that's when we do our planned things. And I let our neighbor know and a couple of the, like, my friends in the area so they could drive by.
You have some ringers ready to buy.
Well, and like I said, like, we live in the country, so it's not like people are driving 20 miles an hour down the block to their house. Like,
thirsty squirrels.
Exactly. You know, and sometimes people riding by on their horses. So after nap time comes, and I'm like, okay, guys, we need to make our lemonade. And we decided, like, what we were going to make. They all, like, were into raspberry lemonade. So I, like, got the ingredients, got our big pitcher, got a cooler. And I'm like, while I'm finishing this job, you guys need to make the signs because people need to know we're selling lemonade. And I'm just going on. And one of the 5.5-year-olds, he looks at me and he goes, we're really going to do a lemonade stand? And I was like, yeah, I said we would. Like, it's not going to rain. We're good to go. And he goes, I thought you were just going to change your mind and say no, like all the other adults. Like, I felt so, I mean, I don't think he, I hope he wasn't talking about me, but like that, like, it was just, he was shocked that we were actually
following through
with the yes, because usually it's like yes, and then it changes to no right when things are getting good.
Yeah. Oh, I like that story. That's great. So
did you sell all the lemonade? Come on, don't leave us hanging.
We made $35.
Wow.
Our neighbor may have given us 20 of them.
Now, did you split that up amongst the children, or did that go into your after-hours wine supply budget?
I was very selfless, and I divided it between the five children. They all had their own little bag of money. I even broke the 10 that one of the old ladies gave us. Who stopped. We had just random people. There were three random cars that stopped, which I was shocked.
Now, are you living in an area where you had to get a business license with the local municipality? Because those assholes exist out there some places.
I probably did. I even advertised it, and I haven't gotten arrested yet. So,
oh, that's good.
Is it a recurring thing now, or was it a one-hit wonder? What are you thinking?
It was just a one-hit, because they're all in school now.
Oh.
Next summer, you got to wait till next summer for the next pop-up lemonade stand at Bethany's.
Second annual.
We'll be waiting till a kid brings it up. I'm not doing that.
So maybe it's just the grouchy old guy in me, but part of me wonders if maybe some kids don't need to hear no more. If some kids are hearing, are just their whole life is just yes, and they're ended up being spoiled, jerky brats because all they hear is yes all the time.
I have often said that there were some children who showed up in my classroom and in my family childcare home, and the first time they ever heard the word no was from me. And it was a Lisa Murphy no. So you know if it was coming from me that, like, you know, somebody was about to get hit by a bus or something. Or a horse in a river was going to trample them with some lemonade or something like that. But that always surprised me, you know, and my comment typically would be something like, you know, you're not used to hearing that from a grown up, you know, they're not. And my experience has been is that often the transition to kindergarten and grade one, often peer relationships smacks that out of a kid's repertoire a little bit more effectively than an adult.
Yeah.
That's where I really am a fan of kids, and especially the mixed, because often an older can get away with telling a little kid he's being a brat. Like, I can't do that. I might think it, but that 6-year-old can be like, stop acting like a dick. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and even in my own sibling group, you know, my one brother used to be a terror to the other kid, a terror. And one day he hauled off and smacked him finally. And my mom was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, because you've had it coming. Like, I can't announce that as your mother, that you've had it coming. But you know what? You did. And so somebody, it wasn't a no, but it was a, you know, a punch.
A no to the face.
A no to the face.
A punch in the nose is a no. I think that's one of the other benefits of honing this yes mindset is that then when you do say no, those no's have meaning, because when it's just no. Yeah. I mean, and just from a health and safety perspective, there are times when you need no to seriously mean no. And then when they hear it come out of your mouth in that adult tone, that no tone, then that it kind of everybody freezes. And there are certain times when you need that. Like, I mean, there's some things you're probably going to say no to all the time. I can't think of maybe Bethany can come up with a answer to this, but I can't think of a reason. I can't come up with a yes involving a cat and a hot glue gun, for example. I mean, I think that I'd always say no. If somebody had a plan involving a cat and a hot glue gun, I think I'd always gravitate towards no in those situations. So there's some things that would kind of just naturally get a no from me, but most things you can open them up to the yes.
What part of it can I say yes to?
Yeah, you can have the hot glue gun or the cat.
Or the cat. And you know what, something too that I was just thinking about is that I think a lot of times what they would hear come out of my mouth that was more of a stop as opposed to a no. You know what I'm saying? Like running into the street got a stop, you know, stop your feet or come back more than an actual no.
Yeah.
If I really, really probably really reflected on what
that's probably a more thoughtful use. That's probably a more thoughtful use of language, because the stop is really what you want.
Yeah.
And I think
go on.
Oh, I was going to say, I think a lot, it's not that some children need to hear no more. It's that adults need to have better boundaries in place. Mm-hmm. So like I've got pretty strong boundaries, whether it's physical or mental boundary, you know, like these are things we can and can't do. And like, we just exist within them. And so like, there doesn't need to be, there might be a lot of no's happening. If you don't know, we don't pull the plants out of the ground. Like,
while you're still learning some,
but then like, we all figure out, okay, we leave these plants here for this reason, and then we can all kind of exist in this space.
In the book, I talk about that as the freedom within the structure. So the structure is that actual boundary. Like this is a non-compromisable. This is how it always, my mood doesn't dictate this fence, this parameter. It's going to be there Monday through Friday, whether I'm in a good mood or a bad mood. So now once you figure out what that feels like, you know, I might need to be doing some gentle reminding of you or for you, but this isn't really ever going to change. So, you know, we pick it if we plant it, just as a reminder, and we didn't plant that, so we're not picking it. Oh yeah, okay, well this is what she says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. At some point this is going to be something that sticks in my head. Yeah.
Oh, it's time to end this episode, but I just thought of this. The group of children that are, look, toddlers love the word no, right? I mean, and I love toddlers that because they learn that word and it becomes a real powerful word for them.
They right? like watching people's reactions when they use it.
Yeah, because it's powerful for them to say no. And they are the age group that I found it's most fun to be able to say yes with, to just follow the flow of what a toddler is up to and into is just great. So the group that likes to use the word no most are the ones that for me are always the most fun to say yes to.
So
that's just, maybe that's just my own wiring, but that
and
was.
And it's cheaper than an improv class. Just go hang out at a toddler.
hang out with some toddlers. Can I climb on this?
Improve your improv.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts on this this yes thing before we pull this one to?
I'd like to say yes just to be an ass.
I know, me too.
Time to wrap it up.
Well, we're going to pull this this episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill over to a rest side road stop. Everybody's going to pee, and we'll be back soon with another one. So pile back in for another episode coming up in just a few days. Thanks for listening, and say yes to something this week that you might have normally said no to. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.